The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have a special guest with us today.
We do.
Hello.
Kevin Shoemaker.
Mr. Kevin Shoemaker.
He heard what we're talking about today, and he's like, you need to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Because he was a little behind.
Yeah. And he's not anymore. Today we have an interesting topic. We don't normally talk about one particular person. They have to have a pretty large body of work for us to do that. We've done, like, Stephen King,
mm-hmm.
Rachel McAdams, time traveler adjacent.
We kind of did Tom Cruise, but we focused on Mission Impossible. So it was really more about
franchise.
Mission Impossible.
It wasn't about Tom Cruise. So today we're talking about Edgar Wright.
Yes.
Either you know him or you don't. There's no in between here.
He is a man behind the camera.
Yes. We were only originally going to talk about the Coronetto trilogy, which is the amazing British movies, the trilogy that is Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. Yeah, I always get it confused with the...
At World's End.
Yeah, which is the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
At it's, World's End, The World's
it's
End.
It's also confused with This is the End.
Yes.
Which is the Seth Rogen...
Apocalypse movie.
Because I was actually telling someone that we were going to be talking about The World's End on today's show. And he's like, oh, yeah, I love that part where Hermione runs out and robs him. I'm like, no, wrong movie. Like, that's a great movie, but this is not that movie.
It's true.
So, for those who don't know, I actually have a cold right now, so I sound a little weird. So, if you hear, you'll hear intermittent coughing and sneezing and whatever in the background, it's probably me.
So, what you're saying is you need to become a jazz singer for the next week or so? Remember on Friends when Phoebe got a cold and then her voice was all deep and husky? And
yeah.
And then she was trying to get everyone's germs so she could get it back?
Mine did not get all husky and deep.
A little deeper.
A little bit.
A little bit.
I mean, I think you sound great.
Thank you. See, this is why we have Kevin on. He pulls the right strings.
Blatant bribery.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with one of his earlier movies, which is Shaun of the Dead.
Well, Edgar Wright, before we get into that, Edgar Wright is a director of a lot of movies.
Right.
He's an actor in some things. If you look at his IMDb page, he actually acts in a few things. Almost all of them are uncredited, but...
He's got kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock thing. Where
but Alfred Hitchcock did it in his own movies. He's actually in other people's movies.
Right, that's true.
But he's mostly, he writes things, but he's mostly what we're going to be talking about is the movies he's directed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's start off with the Coronetto trilogy.
Well, because but the three movies didn't come out sequentially. Scott Pilgrim versus the World was in the middle of the Coronetto trilogy.
Right.
I think also, Paul wasn't one of his. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost were in Paul, but
right.
He didn't direct it.
He didn't direct it.
Yeah. And we're all over the map here.
All right, well, let's start with Shaun of the Dead. It came out in 2004.
Okay.
And is all about zombies. And is one of my favorite zombie movies.
It's actually, I believe he refers to it as a rom-zom-com, because it's a romantic comedy disguised as a zombie movie.
Or is it a zombie movie disguised as a romantic comedy?
You never know. But yeah, it's fantastically funny. It's filled with so much humor, just sort of displaying itself all throughout, including the aforementioned Cornettos, the titular, plot point that comes up in each of the films, or is just at least homaged in each one of them. Turns out the reason why it's called the Cornetto trilogy, Edgar Wright uses Cornetto ice cream as a hangover cure. And he made a joke about that in Shaun of the Dead. And Nick Frost, when he's hungover in that movie, asks for a Cornetto from the shop that Sean goes to. And then when they decided to do it again in the second movie, he's like, I can make a joke out of this.
So, Cornetto, though, that's not something we have over here on this side of the pond, am I right?
No, I believe it's explicitly a UK ice cream.
Yeah, because I'm like... I don't know any of these.
Yeah, no.
I want to try one of these now.
No, it's a British ice cream. It'd be like our drumsticks.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, now I want one of those. But Shaun of the Dead is fantastic, but Edgar Wright has this really interesting style. It's very witty, like all the writing, the directing, like it focuses on the dialogue, but it's also very quick cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like Guy Ritchie's cuts, but more played up for humor,
mm-hmm.
and they're just cooler. Like Guy Ritchie's are like dark, deep, you know, cut here, cut there, boom, boom, boom. And I don't know. Edgar Wright's is more fun. I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
My favorite way to describe it is that he's very punchy. The way that he edits his films, he tends to take things that are mundane and spices it up using fancy camera tricks or fast edits and amazing sound cues in order to enhance all the comedy in his scenes. You know, the beat where they're in the pub and they're beating up on a zombie with pool cues in rhythm to Queen's Don't Stop Me Now is a fantastic bit that mm-hmm. they have. You know, they're just beating up on this one zombie in synchronicity with the song. It's fantastically funny to watch because it's just happening in flawless rhythm, but it's also the most absurd-looking thing ever.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And they use this one because they're trying to be really quiet in the bar. They're hiding out. They're surrounded by zombies, and they're trying to be quiet, and somebody bumps the jukebox, and it plays this song.
Mm-hmm.
And the zombies hear it, and they start coming in, and so they're beating the zombies with a pool cue to this. And it's just brilliant.
Yes.
And they're able to say, because, you know, here you can't say, you can't threaten the president's life.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the monarchy. You can't be like, kill the queen.
Mm-hmm.
So when the jukebox is playing, somebody's like, for God's sake, somebody kill the queen! And they were able to get around that.
Yep. It's one of those great little witticisms, you know. Most of the humor that Edgar Wright has is very clever, witty. We've mentioned that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so snappy, too. It comes up and is repeated in instances, and that little bit of repetition and popping up, and it just helps enhance the movie as time goes by.
Well, I also like that his storylines take you to places you don't really expect them to go.
Mm-hmm.
So even within the, you know, the fantastical storyline of zombies, you know, there's still a very human heart to the story. And this movie came out in 2004, so we can talk about it. So if you don't want spoilers, you know, stop, watch the movie, and then come back to us.
14 years is definitely enough.
And so throughout the movie, the zombies are taking over, they're biting everybody, and Sean, played by Simon Pegg, has to kind of try to survive. And his best friend, played by Nick Frost, because he's always played by Nick Frost,
of course,
gets bitten, and so he becomes a zombie. But then he kind of becomes a pet.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the movie, Nick Frost's character is chained up in the shack, you know, out in the garden, playing video games, and
yep.
So Sean goes out there and he plays video games with him, and it's just great. It's just, you know, this kind of realism to such a ridiculous story.
Yeah, and the romance that he has with his girlfriend, you know, it starts off in a rocky place, and you can almost find the parallels between sort of the complacency at the beginning of the movie where no one really knows that the zombie invasion is happening, and he's wandering through the streets as the dead are rising and moving around, and he's completely oblivious to it, just like he's completely oblivious to losing his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and all of her affection is being sort of forgotten, and then him having to sort of man up and take charge of the situation sort of corresponds with him trying to take control of his poor behavior and trying to get her back.
Yeah, of his life.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah, I'd say, so Shaun of the Dead is definitely a comedy. It's not scary.
No. Not really.
It's got some great special effects, like, uh-huh. as far like makeup effects and uh-huh. prosthetics. Like, the zombies look real good, but yeah, it's not scary.
But there's like this great scene that the movie starts out with him leaving the apartment and going to the convenience store, and it follows a path, and then later on in the movie, once the zombies start taking over, he's like you said earlier, oblivious to it, and it follows the exact same path, only mm-hmm. now there's destruction around him, there's like blood on the glass, he follows the exact same steps, it's just completely different day, so all the things around it have changed, but he's in such a rut that it completely, he doesn't even realize it, even though, because he's doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it's also a one long continuous shot, I think, both of those bits. And that's just one of the things I most appreciate about Edgar Wright. Mm-hmm. I found that a lot of American comedies tend to be very shot, very flat, mostly because they're dialogue driven. And that's not a bad thing. It's mostly like improvisational comedy, right? It's a lot of close angles, very flat. There's not a whole lot of creativity with the camera to help the comedy and the flow of the scenes. But Edgar Wright really manages to nail certain things like that. He adds in these little dramatic flares that just sort of spice up the visuals so that you get a joke out of something coming completely mundane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're talking about the, like, his quick cuts, like there's a great, it's just getting into a car can be this amazing sequence of, it shows the car door slamming and then it quickly cuts to the other one slamming and then it quickly cuts to seatbelt and
car key in. Yeah.
And it's very fast paced, but it's so entertaining. Like, his movies are so well made that they're so fun to watch.
The rapid montage is something that he comes back to time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always funny because he takes something that's usually not interesting or exciting, like going from one city to another, which in another movie would just be they're going from right to left from scene to scene. There's some helicopter footage and then somebody's playing some upbeat 90s music to keep the audience from being bored. But in one of his films, you've got rapid fire, sitting on a bench, sitting on the train, the train zooming by, close up on his face, close up on the camera, on the phone, as it's losing bars, as he's getting further and further from civilization. It all happens so fast that you just sort of have to process it all at once. And it's not boring, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and I really like that, so particularly these three movies, and it's his overall style, but it's really noticeable in these three movies. The storylines have nothing to do with each other. They're not connected at all. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are always the main characters, but they're very different.
Well,
and a lot of the supporting cast is the same. But what I like is that there are certain elements of each movie that are the same. Like, of course, the ice cream bars come into play, and they're not huge plot points. They're just there.
Yeah,
they're just little Easter eggs.
In the third one, it's just a rapper that shows up on a fence at one point,
right,
very late in the movie.
But like, you were saying how he would take the same walk to the shop. Well, that happens in all the movies. Like, there's a lot of repetitiveness of, this is how it usually is. And then, well, here's the character still in their routine, but the world has changed around them, but they're still doing the same thing. And also, the fence.
Yes.
This defense jumping is just hilarious. I love how it's different in every movie.
Yeah, it's incorporated in each one and is funny in each one because he keeps doing different things with it.
Yeah, because in Shaun of the Dead, he's escaping zombies, because he is, and he's jumping through backyards of houses. And now in Shaun of the Dead, he tries to jump the fence and he doesn't make it.
Yes, the fence, I believe, starts to buckle and he sort of topples over the top of it.
And then in Hot Fuzz, because he is this,
super cop,
he just easily
somersaults
over it.
And then Nick Frost chases after him and trips and just breaks right through the fence.
And then the same thing happens in World's End.
The World's End.
Sorry.
See, we did it
again.
I did it. He's playing sort of a drunkard, and so he goes and tries to jump over this fence. As soon as he connects with it, it starts toppling over, and he goes, "Oh, no!"
And the fence falls, and he falls with it, and it's just great. And I like those little ties between each movie.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting tie between each of the films is one that Edgar Wright sort of pointed out in some of his interviews, is that the films all have a message about, like, sort of the danger of continual adolescence and growing up, what that means and the different ways that you might have to sort of approach reaching adulthood and trying to take control of your own life and manning up to, the reality of the situation, even if it's easier and nicer to go back to the nostalgia of the past and cling on to what's nice and easy as opposed to, taking the more difficult road of progressing through your life and...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing about Shaun of the Dead and the whole trilogy is that I love the fact that all of the female relationships he has seem somehow not There's always flaws in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the first one, they're not together because he said adolescent, and in the other one, he's married to the job,
mm-hmm.
and which is a great cameo.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
You never see her face by Kate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's like a CSI tech at a crime scene, and so she's got her mask on. You only see her eyes.
Mm-hmm. And then Rosamund Pike in the last one,
mm-hmm.
at the world's end.
Sorry.
It's hard.
It really
it's
hard. Is.
It sounds nicer to say at world's end, but that's the Pirates one.
The world's end. Because that's the name of a bar. Yeah. The world's end. Okay, so we've talked about Shaun of the Dead a bit, and that's I don't want to get too far into that because I really want to talk about my favorite of the trilogy, which is Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I love Hot Fuzz.
That is also my favorite.
Hot Fuzz is the best.
Oh, it is. I love it.
Of the trilogy.
Of the trilogy. Yes, but it's not Kevin's favorite Edgar Wright movie,
no,
which we'll get into that after The World's End.
Yes. I know which one is yours, and it's really difficult for me to choose between the two.
It's definitely – this is the film that, when I watched it, confirmed my suspicions that Edgar Wright was a genius director.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie, almost beat for beat, is a setup for the latter half of the movie, the big third act where all the action happens and all the jokes wind up coming to fruition. One of my favorites, because the plot of Hot Fuzz is that Simon Pegg plays a super cop, Nicholas Angel, which, fun fact, I think was the name of the sound editor for all three films. They made an homage to one of the cast and crew for each of the films.
Nice.
But Nicholas Angel is a super cop who gets sort of pushed off to this one tiny remote village because he's doing such a good job of being a bobby that they need to get rid of him because he's making them look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they sequester him to this tiny little village where nothing bad's supposed to happen, and everybody just seems way too friendly.
Very Stepford Wives.
Oh, very Stepford Wives.
Very much so. But everything seems slightly off as well. Uh-huh. You know, he gets into the hotel and he checks in, and the lady greets him. She says, "Oh, hi, how you doing? Fascist. I'm sorry, what?" And she goes, "Fascist, a dictatorship ruled by blah, blah, blah." And she's doing the crossword puzzle. And he goes, "Oh, no, that's fascism." "Oh, well, thank you. Hag." "Excuse me? Hag, a three-letter word for a woman who's very rude and ugly." "Oh, thank you." And then
that bounces back and forth quite a bit, and that's hilarious.
And that all gets incorporated to the end of the movie because those two have a confrontation afterwards, and they call each other a fascist and a hag again. It's just that humor carries itself all throughout the movie, and there's so many different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says that, "What do you want us to do? You want us to go looking through the phone book, calling up everyone, starting with Aaron A. Aronson?" And then at the very end of the movie, there's a little boy that he saves, and he goes, "What's your name, son?" "Aaron A. Aronson?" "Yeah." "Wait, what?"
It's just so great. I mean, the twins, the morning twin and the nighttime twin. That so he gets there and he shows up at night and he brings in, because he hasn't even started the job yet, and he's already arresting people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He brings him in, and there's the guy at the front desk, and he looks all tired and beaten at night, and he's like, "They don't tell me nothing," and he's just grumpy as all. And so the next morning he shows up, and the guy looks fantastic, and he looks all happy and refreshed, and it's the morning after he's been there all night.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize it's because they're twins.
Mm-hmm.
And
I honestly don't think I ever noticed that.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're twins.
I didn't know.
What's going on here? I don't know. Don't tell me nothing.
I thought they were just two different guys.
No, they're twins.
and then there's also the Andes.
The
two guys who look very similar but have no relation. They're both just called Andrew. But they're real snobs and real jerks.
Well, they're the detectives.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's just a sergeant.
Yes.
Man, there's so many things that are great about this movie.
So,
I could probably use the whole hour just to talk about this movie.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. So for a quick rundown, so Kevin kind of started it that he gets shuffled off to this little village where nothing happens. But what's weird is that people keep dying.
Mm.
But it's never murder. It's always accidents.
Even though it clearly
isn't. It's clearly not. But it's, they're just accidents. No one's been, there's been no crime in this village for,
20 years.
And so he gets really suspicious, and so he starts looking into it. And you know, just like with Stepford Wives, there's something seedier underneath. And it's the town council who is getting rid of people who are making their town undesirable. So my favorite is the newspaper publisher who riddles the paper in typos and errors, and so they have to kill him because their newspaper isn't good. And then
he's a terrible journalist.
And then they kill...
For the greater good.
For the greater
good.
And then they kill the director and star of the play because they're terrible. And it's just great. And so, you know...
I reference that all the time. Yeah. Talk about bad theater.
Oh yeah.
I'm always like, how are we gonna end how are they gonna end this terrible play? And I'm always like, they should do Cardigan's Loveful.
There you go.
Yeah, because they do a performance of Romeo and Juliet, and they end it with Love Fool, which was used in the Claire Danes Leonardo DiCaprio movie, and it's just hilarious. But you know, and it turns out that it's the captain is like the leader of this.
Of the neighborhood watch.
Yeah, the neighborhood watch. And so Nicholas has to get his friend, played by Nick Frost, who is the son of the captain, who is also a cop. So in this movie, so in the other two movies, like you were saying, it's kind of this about the danger in not growing up. It's Simon Pegg's character that happens to.
Yes.
But in this movie, it's Nick Frost.
Yes.
Because he's growing up idolizing his father, believing all of this, you know, that there is no crime, it's all just accidents. And he having to realize that he needs to come into his own and he needs to see things for what they are. But my favorite part about this movie is that at the end, they have a massive shootout all over town. And everybody is wounded and nobody dies.
Yep.
Because they are all in the lineup. Even the grocery store owner who slips and impales his head on a scale model of a building.
It goes through his chin.
It goes through his chin and out his mouth, and he's fine. They just cut the building off and they put him on the stretcher and they take him away. And then you see him in the police lineup. It's great.
Yep. Simon Skinner, played by a Bond. Yeah. I forget which one. Roger?
It's Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Not Roger Moore. He's fantastic. He's
super evil.
He's amazingly evil. And the big sort of twist that all of these murders are happening just because they're, you know, like not up to par, the big twist is that Nicholas Angel comes up with this conspiracy theory that's totally legitimate. Like, there's a business deal about some land property, and they're going to buy it up in order to make a supermarket retail store that's going to be a rival to the Sanford retail store that Timothy Dalton owns. But that has nothing to do with it. They're just trying to win a best small city competition.
A best village.
Yeah, best village of the year.
Yeah, no, everything about this from the near mute giant.
Yarp. Yep. Played by the same actor who plays Sandor Clegane in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen Hot Fuzz, if you're interested in seeing these movies that we're talking about, if you're only going to see one, my choice would absolutely be Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
That's also the one that's on Netflix.
Yeah, it stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It stands on its own very well. We still have one more, and I was going to try to get it in the first segment, but we're gonna take a break, and then we'll come back to The World's End.
The World's End.
Yes, when we come back from break, because I think we started to run out of time on this. We kind of need to take a commercial break.
All right.
So stick with us, and we'll be talking about The World's End when we come back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
Look at Brian Dolly's record in Sacramento. Dolly voted for amnesty for 11 million illegal aliens, granting them all the rights of citizenship, even though they break our laws. And Dolly voted against President Trump's border security plan. Brian Dolly even praises the liberal assembly speaker from Los Angeles, the leading advocate for sanctuary laws. Living in Sacramento has changed Brian Dolly. Now he's part of the problem.
Paid for by Kevin Kiley for Senate 2019.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
We are Saxophone!
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
And we are talking about the movies of Edgar Wright. We left off with two of the three of the Cornetto trilogy. I thought we were gonna get through all three, but that was not the case. So we're gonna talk about The World's End, and the movie that song comes from. That is from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, we will get to that one.
We may have to overlap a couple segments with that.
Yeah, but The World's End. So World's End was the final of the Cornetto trilogy, coming out in 2013, which I didn't realize it was that old already.
Me neither.
Right? So in this story, Simon Pegg is joined by not only Nick Frost, but a whole slew of friends, including, I almost called him Morgan Freeman. That's not right. Martin Freeman.
Well, Martin Freeman's in Hot Fuzz.
At the very beginning.
He has a very small part in Hot Fuzz, but he has a prominent part in The
World's
End.
As does Bill Nighy.
Mm-hmm. As does Bill Nighy. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Actually, I guess Bill Nighy kind of has a similar sized role in both.
They just swapped.
Yeah, they just swapped a little bit. But and so they're older, they're adults, you know, they haven't really been friends since they were adolescents, and Simon Pegg's character decides to bring them all back to do one last pub crawl on the Golden Mile, it's called, which is 12 pubs that you go through. And when they did it as children, well, not children, but, you know, of drinking age, they only made it to 10?
Nine.
And so now they're shooting for 12. And it gets a little sci-fi.
Yeah. They start off just trying to appeal to Simon Pegg's character, Gary King, because he's the one and only King.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear from the get-go that Simon Pegg is the one who has not grown up. He looks exactly the same, like he's trying way too hard to recapture his youth, because he dresses like a goth kid, and kind of just a very... he wears like a black duster and, you know, glasses and
Doc
heavy
Martins.
Metal. Yeah, he just... He looks like he stepped out of his past childhood. And,
well, that's
and
what, that's when he's at that one guy's house, and he's like, do you mind? He's at Martin Freeman's house, and he's like, Martin Freeman's character says, you know, do you mind taking your DMs off my off the sofa? And for those on the American side, you know, that's not Dungeon Master from Dungeons & Dragons. It's Doc Martens.
Doc Martens.
Yeah.
And so Gary... really clearly has something going on with him, and all of his friends decide, all right, well, we're just going to go ahead and appease him by going on this pub crawl with him in order to get back to the Golden Mile with that the conquest that they failed to get as kids. And what is it, like after two or three pubs in, they start realizing that something's really off with the town?
By the third one, yeah.
Yeah, nobody recognizes who they are. Except for maybe one or two people, all of the old pub crawlers that they, you know, come up with and all the barkeeps, nobody recognizes them. And eventually Simon Pegg gets into a fight with a kid who he thinks is
in
disrespecting him in one of the pubs.
In the fourth pub, yeah.
Yeah, and he
cross arms.
Yeah, and he finds out in that pub that that young kid was not a young kid. It's like a robot. It's a
that's a derogatory term.
Yes, it's, what is it, Slavic or Robotnik, which means slave? I forget what language it is, but, yeah, no, so all of a sudden it turns out that the entire town has been taken over by what appear to be robots, you know, these weird beings that have their limbs pop off and, you know, they have this blue goop inside of them, and so the whole crew becomes convinced that they need to get out of Dodge, but Gary says, no, wait. They want us to do that because then they'll know that we know what they're doing, so we need to pretend that we don't know what they're up to.
They
by
don't know
the
we know they know we know.
Yes.
And you better not tell them.
Couldn't if I wanted to.
So they just decide to go ahead and keep going with the pub crawl so that way they can get to the end and then get out of Dodge. And things just go downhill from there. It's a really funny movie. But also, I feel like it's the least Edgar Wright of the Edgar Wright films. Most of the other movies that he did have a lot of that sort of snappy repartee, a lot of those rapid montages. And this one feels a little bit more subdued, and I wonder if that's because it's more of a character drama.
So, spoiler alert again, like we always do, because it's been 5 years, and you should probably do this. So these robots are replacing people because of an alien trying to make Earth better. And
it's
like,
body snatchers.
Yeah. And what's really great is the amount of detail that Edgar Wright puts into all of his movies, and including where they said that back in 1990, when the alien landed, that it came from space and it was a shooting star. No one realizes that at the beginning of the movie, that once they failed their first pub crawl, they're sitting out in this field, and it's younger versions of them. And as they're talking, you see the shooting star streak across the sky. Mm-hmm. And it's on that date that they did their original pub crawl that the alien landed.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And I also love that of the 12 pubs, the names of the pubs foreshadow the
events
antics
that will
go down in the pub. So just quickly, you know, they have the first post because it's the first one. The Old Familiar, which looks exactly the same, and
as the first one they just visited. They thought they walked into the same place.
But what I also like about The Old Familiar is that's when the girl comes back. You know, the sister of one of the guys that Gary had hooked up with on the first pub crawl, and in their youth, and now she's back, and that's the pub that she meets them in. So, you know, it's
well, at the beginning of the movie, that's exactly what. So the beginning of the movie in 2 minutes foreshadows blow by blow the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
Oh, yeah.
No, it does.
Yeah, absolutely. The famous cock where he is recognized as being having a lifetime ban. The cross hands where they fight the robots for the first or the. The blanks, I think, is what they call them, right?
They're human beings that have been replaced and had their minds emptied, so they're blanks.
So then we have Good Companion, which is where they have the four sad faces and the one happy face.
Right.
Because the four other guys really don't want to be doing this, but Gary King is excited that he gets to drink some more.
Because now he has an excuse.
The Trusted Servant, which is where they meet an old drug dealer. Who is still real.
Yeah, he's one of the only humans left, it seems like.
Right, but because Gary is questioning him and he's telling him a little too much, gets taken away.
Right.
And then becomes a shell. The Two-Headed Dog, which is where they battle twins.
Yeah, there's a pair of twins that the sister is meeting up with, and then she winds up finding out the secret, and they decide that they're going to try and get rid of her, and they get into a fight, and Simon Pegg comes in and helps rescue her, and the twins actually wind up, like, kind of picking up, once their limbs start coming off in the middle of the fight, they start replacing each other's limbs, and so the feet become the arms, and it's a weird fight scene, but it's really inventive and very fun.
Yeah. Then you have the mermaid, which is where they fall prey to sirens. They have, you know, super sensual women dancing up all on them.
In order to get their DNA so that they can make the robots.
Duplicated,
yeah.
The beehive is where they fight a whole swarm of robots who come in. The king's head, which is great because it has a portrait of a king that is clearly Simon Pegg.
Yes.
In a long, curly black wig.
And his name is also Gary King.
King, yeah. And so that's kind of where he makes his stand, saying, no, this is what I'm doing. I have to keep going.
Even though several of his friends at this point in the film have been sort of removed or been defeated by the blanks.
Yeah. The hole in the wall, which they drive the car through the bar, thus creating a hole in the wall. And then finally, the 12th and final pub, The World's End.
And that's where everything goes horribly, horribly wrong.
Well, and so that is how we have the Coronado trilogy. I definitely say that on my list, it's definitely Hot Fuzz, then Shaun of the Dead, then The World's End.
Yes.
But that's kind of like Back to the Future movies for me.
Yeah.
2, 1, 3.
Yeah, just because there's a ranking doesn't mean that the bottom one is bad.
No.
It's just the third.
It's definitely the most different. I'd argue that it's the one that probably has the most heart, as opposed to the most laughs. And that's not a bad thing, but definitely for like a comedy film, if you're looking for a really uproaring good time, Hot Fuzz is the way to go. Shaun of the Dead's really good. And The World's End is pretty funny as well, but definitely more of a character piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, let's see. We will take another break here, and we will then talk about Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and Baby Driver and a couple other things. So stick around. We will be right back. This is Baby Driver by Simon and Garfunkel. So the music ties in. It's got a theme. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Behind, I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
And this music you're hearing, this is the theme from Ant-Man.
Really?
Yeah. And tell us why, Kevin, I'd be playing the theme from Ant-Man on a show about Edgar Wright.
Well, that's actually because Edgar Wright was initially going to direct Ant-Man.
And co-write.
Yes. Well, I think actually initially he was just the writer. And then due to creative differences, unfortunately, he wound up having to leave the project. And it wound up being passed over to another gentleman whose name I don't know. But Edgar Wright still got co-credits for writing the script, and I'm fairly certain some of his jokes still made it through into the final product.
Well, the original script, for people who got to see it, it's been widely known that it would have been the best Marvel movie. This is according to a lot of inside sources and
Joss Whedon, I think.
Yeah, said it would. Yeah, he said it would have been the best Marvel movie.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen it in its entirety. For sure.
I'm wondering if it'll be leaked at some point, at least the script anyway.
You never know.
But you know what did get released that I did get to see that I'm sure is one of the best movies ever?
What's that, Kevin?
It's another Edgar Wright film.
Oh.
And you played the music for it earlier.
Oh.
And it's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, I love this movie.
I think the tagline says it all. It's an epic of epic epicness.
Absolutely. Granted, this one is a little near and dear to my heart because it's very much sort of a my generation type movie. It's basically about a millennial who doesn't know what to do with his life and makes video game references. Hey, hey. But really, it's an amazing combination of genres. It's a romance film. It's an action film. It's a comedy film. It's a fantasy film.
So one of the things I said about it is because it doesn't fit in any, like you're saying, any real genre.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that it is this generation's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It definitely is more of a cult classic than a big success. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it didn't get nearly as much in the way of box office income as mm-hmm. they were hoping for. It was a big budget picture that didn't get as much returns for. And that's a shame because it's a really amazing movie. It's so funny. It's so fast-paced.
Well, it's got such quotable lines
mm-hmm.
That you can kind of play along with. Like I said, I feel like it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show, because Rocky Horror Picture doesn't really fall in any real genre. I guess it's musical, but it's like, you know, you got transvestites, you've got, like, monsters.
Aliens.
Yeah. It's all these weird things, and people love it because they love it as shadow cast.
Yes.
And everything. And I feel that Scott Pilgrim is one of those movies that kind of falls into that. It's like, is it a movie based on a video game? Is it because it's actually from a manga that has references to video games.
Yeah, the original author, Brian Lee O'Malley, created sort of a comic series called Scott Pilgrim, and he wrote this story about a guy who's just sort of aimless, and he's in Canada, and he doesn't know what to do with his life, and he's dating this high schooler, and he knows it's kind of wrong, and then he meets this girl who can, like, do all kinds of weird things, and he instantly is smitten with her, and he really wants to date her, and she acquiesces to that, but the one condition is that he has to beat up all of her 7 exes, not her ex-boyfriends, her exes.
Why do you keep saying that?
Well, because Roxy Richter, number 4.
No. That's the thing. Yeah, you need to beat my 7. I got to defeat your 7 evil ex-boyfriends.
Exes.
Yeah, your 7 evil exes. And then it keeps going on. So, how many actual ex-boyfriends do you have? Exes. And then, why do you keep saying that?
Yeah.
And then we find out.
Shortly before he gets slammed in face first into a bar by the one female relationship that she had.
Yeah. And I love the fact of the, and one of the great ones, and I reference this a lot, is when he is... You had a sexy face? And then it's because it goes in his head and it shows the line of doesn't get it, ding, gets it.
Yep.
And she's like, and then the ex-girlfriend is like, I'm a little bi-furious.
Yeah, she said, I was a little bi-curious in my days. And Roxy, the girl that she had the relationship with, the ex, goes, you were a little bi-curious? Well, I'm a little bi-furious. And then it turns into a giant fight.
Who is played by Mae Whitman, who is the adorable little first child from Independence Day.
Yes.
Well, the president's daughter.
Yeah, and it's oddly enough, she played in Arrested Development. She was Michael Cera's character's Michael. Is it Michael Bluth?
Yeah.
Michael. Is your microphone?
Yeah.
Okay. George Michael. And it was the girlfriend that no one ever remembered because she was so plain. She just kind of blended in, and it's so funny. So yeah, they played boyfriend and girlfriend before, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, this is the movie that made me fall in love with Edgar Wright as a director. Hot Fuzz is what made me after I watched this one. Because I think even though Scott Pilgrim came out after Hot Fuzz, that I watched this one first, and then I wound up watching Hot Fuzz. I fell in love with this movie the first time I saw it. It's so much me and my sense of humor, and it's all over the board. It has so many characters and references and clever details that this is the one movie that I've rewatched more than anything else.
It's the L word, Kevin.
I do, in fact.
No, it's the L word, Kevin.
I'm aware. I am in lesbians with this movie.
Yeah, no, it's lesbian. No. The other L word, lesbians. It's love, Scott. I'm not trying to trick you.
Yep. Oh, it's so good. The whole quotable thing comes up time and time again. You know, every other minute of this film, you can find something that's so quote worthy and
so
funny.
Many people in it too.
Well, yes, Anna Kendrick's in it.
Yeah,
Aubrey Plaza. Right there.
Aubrey Plaza, mm-hmm.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Brandon Routh.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who we never remember his name from Westworld.
Yes.
He's in, like, everything. But
I still can't remember his name.
He's one of the vegan police.
Oh, the guy who was the Punisher?
No, the other guy.
Oh, the other guy. Oh, yeah, now I remember him. I also don't remember his name.
We never remember his
name.
And
I'm pretty sure, it's really, I think it's pretty milquetoast. Like, it's very bland. Like,
John Smith.
Something, yeah. But, yeah, because he's
in... I hear Pocahontas has a thing for him.
He's in Boondock Saints. He's in a lot of stuff. And he's a great actor, but, like,
I first saw him in The Last Castle. So I always want to call him Aguilar because that was his name in The Last Castle. And since that's the first thing I saw him in, that's how I know you. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah, I'm looking for him.
Scott Pilgrim, though, I love that movie from beginning to end, and I can watch it anytime.
I don't know what black magic Edgar Wright did in order to make that movie as amazing as it is.
Oh, I know.
It's phenomenal.
He paid attention to the source material and actually went with it. Like, have you read the first manga?
I have, in fact, read all of it. And it's funny that you should say that, because they actually started the development of the film before the final issue of the manga was released.
Uh-huh.
So it actually has a radically different ending. Not only that, the ending of the film, spoiler warning, Scott Pilgrim gets with the girl that he's chasing after the whole movie. But originally, he was actually going to end back up with the girl that he was starting to date at the beginning of the movie.
Nice.
Knives Chow. And Edgar Wright did a test screen of that version and found that a lot of people didn't necessarily like it.
We're groomed to want the main character to get the girl.
Right. It's just a matter of which girl, and, like, which girl's actually helpful for Scott and whatever. I'm definitely in the same camp. Like, I was rooting for him and Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who plays Ramona Flowers, to end up together, because that was seemingly the whole point of the movie.
Right.
And yet another film about sort of the dangers of being a man-child and refusing to grow up.
I think we all realize that when you feel like you've lost, just take your negative self and go have pancakes a week later.
Yeah, exactly.
So Clifton Collins Jr., by the way.
That's, it's not super John Smith, but it's not quite what I expect.
Yeah.
If you have not seen Scott Pilgrim yet, what is wrong with you? This isn't one of those ones, go watch it.
Go watch it now.
Yeah, so amazing.
It's worth it. You will see something new every time, too.
Yes.
It had me from the Universal logo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In 8-bit.
In 8-bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I was done.
The narration, which is Bill Hader, by the way.
That's true, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill Hader is amazing.
So many people show up.
The last one we're gonna talk about is Baby Driver.
Which is one of his more recent ones. It was just last year that it came out. Mm-hmm. And again, it has the great fast cuts. And the best part of Baby Driver is the use of the soundtrack.
Yes, exceptionally so.
Which,
in fact, the reason why Baby Driver got made is because at the beginning of the movie, there's a bank heist that happens. And the bank heist and the ensuing car chase, because the conceit of Baby Driver is that there's a guy who's an amazing driver, and his name is Baby. Shock and awe.
There you go.
He's played by, I believe his name is Ansel Elgort, something similar to that. But Baby is sitting in a car waiting for the bank robbers to come back in from the heist, and so he can take off. And the song that they play at the beginning of the film that he's jamming out to in the car, and then the whole car chase plays out to. That's the reason why Baby Driver, the film, got made, is that Edgar Wright heard that song and had a scene in his head of a car chase set to that music and really wanted to make that. And so eventually, after he got the success of each of his different films and the Cornetto trilogy and Scott Pilgrim, he was able to sort of get this passion project out the door. And it's really phenomenal. The soundtrack is so spectacular, and it all of the action ties in with the music. There's a gun shootout that like plays in rhythm with tequila. it's phenomenal.
I think and it would have done a lot better, I think, had it not starred Kevin Spacey and came out right around the time of his whole,
right at his scandal.
Yeah,
a little bit before
that was unfortunate.
Before the scandal. Yeah,
I mean, he did a great job in the movie. I still love Kevin Spacey movies. But it is unfortunate of the timing.
Yeah. He's a brilliant actor, regardless of whatever he has or has not done otherwise in his personal life. His performances are always spectacular.
Mm. Yeah.
And he also played out in Baby Driver very well. Also, Jamie Foxx is a spectacular bad guy, but not anywhere nearly as amazing of a bad guy as John Hamm.
Yeah, love John Hamm.
Who plays Buddy, I think his name is.
Something like that, yeah.
Such an amazingly dark performance for an otherwise bright and poppy movie.
Yeah, the whole movie is just fun.
Yes.
Like, well, and if you haven't seen it, or even if you have and you're going to watch it again, pay attention to the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows him walking down the street listening to a song, and there's all these hidden things in the background of, you know, on signs. That correlate to the music, and it's really amazing.
It's such a rhythmically fun movie. It all sort of plays out with the music in such a fun, interesting way that you almost just... It's like watching an extended music video filled with gun shootouts and car chases and police and action and fighting, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely check that one out. All right, so we are getting close to the end of the show.
Yes.
This is airing 2 days before Thanksgiving, so
hope you happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. We will not be here next week.
Why aren't we going to be here next week?
Because we are going to be in Hawaii.
Yeah, we are. No,
that's the first time I'm going to be there.
Me too. Yes, our very first Hawaiian trip. We're very excited.
Are you guys sure you don't have an extra seat?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, darn it.
All right. But it's going to be fun. So we'll be... I'm leaving it up to the people here to play a rerun. I left them an episode.
Yes, so we will not be back next week, but we shall see you after vacation.
Yes.
So we hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And if they want to catch up with us, where can they do that?
They can do that at our website at gomezcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. So Spotify, we there.
We there. iTunes.
We're there.
Stitcher.
We're there.
Google Podcasts.
We are there.
We are everywhere.
We are not on cassette tape.
Not yet. We can work on that.
We should get that to happen.
We will.
Thank you, Kevin, for being here and talking to us about Edgar Wright.
Thank you for having me.
And everyone have a good Thanksgiving. You have been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Kevin Shoemaker.
Aloha.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.